Hey, welcome. Good morning. Happy hump day. It is B-Maz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. The snow is falling and now the skies are blue.
That's not true.
That's right here, right in front of me.
I'm looking at a sky full of clouds.
Right in front of me. You got a different vantage point. Right over building 300, you have a beautiful blue sky. And it's taking up more. The clouds are moving away.
Snow expected throughout the day until at least about 6. Thank you, Joe.
Right now, it looks great.
Okay. Got a little bit of breaking news this morning. It was Buffalo Business First who put out a few minutes ago that a downtown location was picked for a soccer stadium. We've been talking about the Buffalo Pro Soccer Group looking to bring a USL championship team to Buffalo. I just got off the phone with their people, and a little clarification to the story that's out there this morning, which is that the downtown location is not the choice, but it's the ideal choice, is the way it was just worded to me, to build a 10,000-seat soccer stadium for a team that would ideally kick off at some point in, well, I think it's spring is when that season starts. So in spring
of next year,
2026. Yeah, spring of this year might be tough. They can build these things fast, but I don't know about that.
It sounds like it's going to go up before Costco.
Well, there might be a chance there because it would be a modular stadium that would be built somewhere else and basically assembled here on site in Buffalo. Okay. But from what I was just speaking with some people over at Buffalo Pro Soccer, and what they relayed to me is that there are still three options, which we've been reporting here for kind of a number of months now at this point, still three options on the table. They say this is the best option. The only difference is the downtown option, which, again, we're talking about building this on the parking lot site of the, well, now former, but I think people still know it as the Buffalo News building.
Yes. I think it still says Buffalo News.
Does it? I was just about to ask you, because you pay attention to these things better than I do.
Yeah.
If it still says Buffalo News on the side, I'm pretty sure the sign is still up.
Yeah.
So this would be right next to the Buffalo News building in that giant parking lot there, right by Harbor Center and the arena downtown. It's being described as the best option, maybe the one that they're gunning for. Does not mean that it's for sure their pick.
Right.
But because it would include public funding, you might remember Peter Marlett Jr. on with us when this whole thing was first announced. The idea was a 100% privately funded stadium. Well, for this site, they would be looking for half of it to be funded because it's way more expensive by the state of New York to the tune of $20 million, which will fit into a lot of what we're talking about today, Joe. That they would need to obviously talk to a lot of people, hence why the story is out today. Peter Marlett was talking with Buffalo Place about that option this morning. So that's some breaking news and maybe a little bit of a clarification. There has been no decision made so far, but there's a kind of a clear quote-unquote top option for that soccer stadium.
And obviously, you know, time is of the essence. If they want to play in spring of next year, they'd like to have a location down.
Yeah, that's I think anyone would tell you.
Yeah.
If you want to play a game,
time's running out.
You need a field.
Yeah.
that is pretty important.
I hope it comes through. We've talked about it numerous times. I think the downtown location would be great for the incoming team, but will also be great for some of those events that, you know, aren't big enough for some places, but would fit perfectly downtown.
Well, we've talked about it before, Joe. I love the idea as well. Again, hope it happens. I, again, am a Western New Yorker, so I don't bank on anything happening until I see it up, just the way I am. For the Business First report says that this site, if this did happen, instead of paying for the project using all private dollars, like I originally announced, if it were to be built on the Buffalo News parking lot site right in the middle of downtown, it would cost about $40 million, and the team would seek $20 million from the state to build that stadium. So That's kind of the news of the day so far. Whether or not that will happen, we'll keep you up to date here on WBEN. Hope to hear from Peter Marlette Jr. at some point later on in the week.
How does the ball play on asphalt?
Would you ask that if you're in charge of, you're up there in Albany? Like, oh, what if I gave you a little bit less? You just... No turf, no grass line, in there.
Put the lines on that are already there.
We kind of take care of it that way. Would that work for you? We just switch around. I mean, you already have a lot of lines there for the parking spaces. Could you use any of those?
Could you move that in? Could the stadium move around those lines?
The Buffalo News has chairs for seats. I mean, we're looking for ways to cut
costs.
Take
them all with them. Come on.
They're looking for ways to cut costs in Washington. I mean, that's kind of the story of the week. Yep. Cutting costs. It's, and it's funny that we're talking about $20 million an ask for the state for public funding for the potential for a stadium. Over in Washington, they're talking about slashing costs left and right, saving money. The Department of Government Efficiency. Yesterday, it was all about the pause on federal funding. And the pause has been paused.
Yes.
By a judge.
Until Monday.
Until at least Monday. And then I guess we'll see if it's extended or anything like that. But the pause was set to last until the middle of next month. 75 days? I'm confused. There's a lot of dates to remember, but it would go into February.
Yes.
The pause on federal funding. And, a lot of people were kind of up in arms. I'd like to know what people think about this. 803-0930, either the soccer stadium news that we were just talking about, or this pause on funding, because, Joe, you hear, and we talk to lawmakers on a state level, on a federal level, on a city level, and towns, and everywhere, when it comes time to do the budget. And we hear one phrase over and over and over again when it comes to finding lines to save money in the budget. You hear every politician say, we want to use a scalpel and not a machete. And that's like almost every year through all levels of government, that's what we want to use a scalpel to find where, we can cut money from the budget and not a machete that's just swinging wildly and chopping everything up. And I don't want to say that the Trump administration is using the opposite, but it kind of feels that way because they're not necessarily slashing through, right? It's a pause to then take a look at a lot of these things. So it's not like they're swinging wildly with a machete. But I do kind of want to ask people out there, do you want the machete? Like the scalpel, maybe it's effective at getting little things. I think the scalpel's not working. And when the budget has ballooned to, million, what are we talking about in the state of New York, the proposed budget?
$252 billion.
A quarter of a trillion dollars. When you have a quarter of a trillion dollars, like sometimes the scalpel just doesn't move fast enough. Like the scalpel's no longer big enough to deal with how bloated the government gets. Would you like to see the machete approach? 803-0930, you can call or text us this morning on WBEN. And I'm not saying, by the way, that this is the machete approach. I think it has maybe the same political impact, though, as we saw yesterday. He's not saying that everything's cut, but by putting a pause to literally everything, it's definitely going to send, well, you saw it yesterday, all the people, and there was an emergency meeting in Buffalo, there was, all these things going on that people were, it spiked some concern across the country.
They also did, I think, a good job of clarifying what was and wasn't cut, because there was, as you said, some confusion about what programs, when it comes to individuals, would be cut and what wouldn't be cut. And I thought in the press conference yesterday, they did a good job. Here's the thing. Trump was elected, and he was elected as a president that cannot be reelected, right? He starts the new term as someone who cannot get another term. So I think a lot of people, myself included, who voted for him, expected more of the machete approach, Brian. Now, not a full machete, okay? But more of a machete approach to most of what he proposed, and I think that goes for this as well. Now, obviously, you've got judges that are going to rule against this. How long does it take to get something like this to the Supreme Court to actually let the freeze be in place? But I would say for the people who casted a vote for Donald Trump, this is what they wanted. And the people who didn't, well, you're seeing their reaction.
Well, I appreciate what's being done because it's not using a scalpel. It's not using a machete. It's using a highlighter. And maybe that can be just as effective.
Very nice.
Because you're not really, nothing, right? Even the pause is paused. It wasn't right. Even a cut. It was a pause.
So right now the money's still being spent.
We press pause on the pause.
Yeah.
Which actually, if you do that on your remote,
it plays
again. So this is a little bit different.
Depending on what kind of, because sometimes if you press pause twice, it does the 0.5 speed.
Really? Slow-mo?
Back on the old VCRs, and it would make that noise.
My son doesn't call it pause and play. He calls it pause and unpause. Can you unpause it? Can you hit the unpause button?
Works for me.
That's just weird. Like, everything I've never said
paused.
That before.
Everything starts paused.
Yeah.
There's no cassettes anymore, so he's actually not wrong.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Everything's paused.
Pause.
We're pausing the Buffalo's, the Bills season.
Pause. We're pausing the idea that the stadium site has been selected.
Yes. Just a pause.
Put it on pause. Pump the brakes a little bit. The highlighter approach, I think, can be just as effective because what you're doing, and I mean, come on. If you heard at all what the press secretary was saying, now this is one I would actually like to see the line item. I was mentioning this to you this morning, Joe, highlighted because I do want to see this on a piece of paper. Because things like this sound so ridiculous, you almost don't want to take somebody's word for it. Carolyn Leavitt? Leavitt?
Leavitt,
okay. Just want to make sure, because we'll probably be saying that a few times here.
Yeah.
She brought up the expenditure of, and here's where, I don't know if she said 50 or 15. I think it was 15, but I've seen printed 50. Either way, Joe, I don't think it really matters because when you're sending $50 or $15 million on condoms sent to Gaza, is what she mentioned yesterday, I think that's the type of highlighter that suddenly raises everybody's eyebrow.
That's something you take the machete to?
That is something. Condoms, by the way, that apparently, according to some news reports, were used as balloons that IEDs were strapped to, which is a whole other story entirely. But needless to say, that's not something you want to see tax dollars being spent on.
No.
Pretty much ever.
How did our tax dollars ever get linked to that?
And it's a funny way of how we talk about our tax dollars being spent because, you know, depending on whether you're for or against a certain program, you know, you can make the argument, well, you know, it's like a drop in the bucket of this huge thing, right? Like, that's what people will say.
Yeah, start with the bucket.
You know, that's what I would say about this soccer stadium downtown. You know, $20 million to the $252 billion budget is, I don't think they're even going to notice.
Right.
Give me the stadium. what are we even talking about? Or you can take, it's probably a more sane approach and just say, hang on, wait a second. Remember everybody that we saw, between Christmas Eve and New Year's, all of the money that all the people we saw in that period, all your family, your extended family and close friends, all of the money that we pay in federal taxes, everybody here contributed, not nearly as much, but all of our tax money, you could play this game. It's not true. I don't know what dollar. Once the dollar goes into the ether, who's to say whose is whose?
Right.
All of our tax money was just spent on condoms.
Yeah, that's a good way to look. I like that way.
It's probably a more sane way to look at it than the drop in the bucket way is how you get to the bloated budget in the first place. But looking at it that way, it also might not be fair, but it's not totally wrong, right?
Yeah.
Look, all of our money. Look at us here. A big, beautiful, loving family giving money every year to the federal government so we can send condoms overseas.
Yeah. But the drop in the bucket approach is like you said, that's when people will go, well, why are we focusing on this? It's just a drop in the bucket. But you know what? I drop coins in a little cup in my car every day. And guess what? Eventually, Brian, I've got $100 at Coinstar. You know what I mean? So eventually you cut.
And they got 10.
That's You cut that funding, you know, you take the stuff, you empty the bucket, eventually you don't have the bloated budget. I heard this yesterday. You know me, I'm a political nerd. I was listening to all this crap yesterday driving around at the gym, and it's like, yeah, okay, it sounds like that, but once you put a bunch of those together, once you get rid of employees that weren't doing anything but watching The Price is Right and collecting a federal paycheck, eventually you're going to see the result. If your answer is, well, that's too small to even focus on, then we get nowhere.
And how many times, Joe, it's maybe my favorite thing that we point out and do every single morning, point out the stupid ways that people are spending time and money.
Yes.
Right. Like when I thought, and we talked earlier this morning with SUNY Chancellor John King, formerly head of the Department of Education, formerly head of the State Education Department. And one of the things he mentioned was, oh, if this pause took place, it would have an impact on the research that, you know, is being conducted all across universities, all in, you know, across the entire country. And my mind immediately went to, Joe, not the research that is very important that's done all the time to make great advancements in science and medicine and all that stuff. My mind went to the story we had yesterday where the study was complete and it told you that exercise was good.
That's a waste of money.
Right? Like, is it a bad thing to put a pause on federal funding? And I thought the point was made by Nick Langworthy that was also pretty poignant, that said, you know, look, for a large part, this isn't, we've already made clear, it's not going to impact anyone who receives direct aid.
Right.
You know, for students, you know, we're going to have to figure something out maybe if this extends down the line, but people who need aid, they're in class right now. They've started their semester. You know, they're not applying as we speak, or this wouldn't have an impact there. There's a lot of areas that they've already received their funding for the next 6 months or so. We're just taking a look at no one. I'm trying to think of the words he said exactly, but who would take an objection to taking a look at how we're spending money? Now, do you need to pause all the spending to do that? I don't know if that's 100% necessary, because then you run into what we had yesterday, this huge controversy.
Yes.
Everyone starts freaking out. You could just take the highlighter without the pause and just, you know, kept using your scalpel with the highlighter every time you found something that's stupid.
And what is stupid. Yeah, exactly. And what is highlighted.
But, you know, it's something here. Australia Athletics. Not anymore.
No.
It's Athletics Australia. How much money do they spend on that? You know, it's just stuff like this that we talk about every single day and we joke about it. And Joe, just like you said, it adds up in that big coin jar at the end of the day and you see the result. What do you think? Machete, scalpel, highlighter, something else? What's your favorite waste of money? What are we wasting money on that you still want us to waste money on? I would love to hear that, too.
Yeah, is there a condoms for Gaza supporter in the audience?
Yeah, 803-0930. And would you take the buyout that they're offering to millions of federal employees?
Yes.
Because I got to say, I don't think you're getting a bad deal. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. It's Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice Wednesday out there. It's, you know, one of those mornings where you got a lot going on. We were talking about the soccer stadium and government spending, which actually they go hand in hand. But the administration's focus on efficiency, cutting out some filler. And depending on how you look at it, it's ideologically driven, or I don't know, is condoms in the Middle East an ideological thing, or is that just what are we doing here kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, with the issues, I mean, you think about it, what could that money do in America?
Buy condoms.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, we could buy condoms for Americans, Joe. I'm running on the platform.
Condoms for Americans?
You can find me in 2028 or whatever.
That sounds like something that I would have run on when I ran for student government.
Yeah.
Like when I was a student government, I should have run for re-election with that as, you know, the treasurer.
I don't think people needed it. They were all over the place.
Yeah, they were. We had a fishbowl of them.
Yeah. Just every room you went in. That's right. Bathroom there.
I thought this was
the KFC on campus. Yeah.
I thought this was public speaking. Was there a
there
box of condoms doing here?
Library, whatever. They're all over the place. Anyways, but it's just one of the things that, you know, do you want a, you know, it's funny, on our text board, 803-0930, somebody mentioned a chainsaw would work. Because we were asking, you hear every single time we talk about the budget with a politician, it's the same phrase comes up. We want to use a scalpel, not a machete. And I think a lot of people would actually be fine with a machete.
Yeah.
You don't want people doing good work to lose a job, or you don't want people who rely on a certain... I mean, think of all the... We were talking with Feedmore, Western New York, and they run so many different programs, including a lot of the Meals on Wheels locally, that, you know, they're wondering, like, hey, what does this mean for us going forward? And, you know, I don't know exactly when they receive and how much funding from the federal government, but you don't ever want to see something like that be knocked down, you know,
right?
That's providing good. But then there's so many other things where you have to take a step back and say, hold up, what are we, you know, I mentioned the story that we were talking about earlier this morning. This is not in the U.S., but it's out of Australia. Where the headline was great, Athletics Australia takes on bold new identity with Australian Athletics rebrand. That's right. Athletics Australia has rebranded itself to become Australian Athletics. The statement said the rebrand was a bold new identity. The move was about reimagining what athletics means. What? I guess it means it comes after Australia. And you just switch the order of the words, and you probably paid people handsomely and some marketing consultant, and now you're going to pay for all new signs and like all this other stuff. I mean, you're going to spend millions of dollars on switching the order of two words. And, you know, I thought about here, all right, that's in Australia. But over here, every time I see the head of, you know, what a U.S. soccer or, you know, the USA hockey, or it doesn't matter what the sport, USA flag football, or, you know, the table tennis organization, whatever it might be. I see them speak on TV before the Olympics, like, man, that's a really nice suit. It's nicer than anything I have in my closet. What are we doing here? You know, how much money are we spending on stuff like that? I think things like that people really want to take a look at. And what the administration is doing now is not necessarily a machete, but I said it's more like a highlighter, where the more you bring this kind of to the public conscience, I think the more you get people on board with the idea of, okay, yeah, it's time we do at least take a second look.
Yeah, I'm happy they're doing it. They're sticking to their word. And I think we're going to find out a lot more, Brian, and probably a lot more examples along the lines of condoms to Gaza. Like, I think you're going to see a lot of this miscellaneous stuff and go, why is a dollar of our tax money going to something like this? When, I mean, I don't know. I'm just thinking $15 million. I'm sure there's something we could do here. Or, hey, guess what? Don't spend it. And stop adding to the debt. Remember when the debt calculator premiered? Remember that? Like during the Bush administration, that was a huge deal, the debt calculator. That thing is still up, by the way. And it's just
is?
Yeah, it's amazing. Well,
how many extra spaces did they need to add?
I mean, it's grown since it was just the debt.
They need to replace that. How much money are we spending on it?
Well.
How much money are we spending on new spaces for the debt calculator?
I don't think the government funds the debt calculator.
No.
Oh.
On the text board, somebody chiming in saying, a machete is good, but not a knee-jerk reaction. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think that's one of the problems people had with the pause, is you're going to pause federal spending on everything. And you had a lot, you know, like the city of Buffalo yesterday saying, hold on, you know, how is this going to impact what we do on a day-to-day basis? I think it maybe could have been done, I don't know, department by department or something like that, instead of this nationwide pause. The texter continues, there are programs that need to be cut, but he feels that when the rubber meets the road, this will be political, not logical. Something like, oh, Democrats like this, it goes. And that is a real valid concern for, I think, a lot of people, where you look at something, how split both parties have become, where if one party likes something, it's immediately terrible to the other side, and that works both ways. I see where that concern comes in.
Yeah, I mean, I would wait till something's done. I honestly think that this administration just wants to cut money, cut funding. But you're right. I mean, it's Brian. It's all going to get spun into. I mean, that's how just divided we are. I mean, look at these cabinet pick hearings that are continuing today on Capitol Hill, and just how divided. Usually, these things go in and no one talks about them. And we've talked about almost every cabinet pick in the Trump administration because it's been made into such a show in Washington.
Well, you got family members calling each other out.
Which, I'm sorry, I don't care where you stand politically. If you're letting politics get between family, in my opinion, now I know, it's the Kennedys, I get it. But to me, that just goes too far. Like, I have a lot of family members who politically do not align with me, a lot of friends who politically don't align with me. I just can't imagine letting politics get to the point where you're making public statements against a blood relative. I mean, for crying out loud.
I love the text messages coming in, somebody chiming in saying that when they went to Purdue University, and that's something we could talk about in just a moment, in the early 2000s, they underwent a rebranding campaign to come up with a new logo. They spent well over $1 million on consultants. The new logo was the word Purdue in Times New Roman font with a white line underlining. That's like they come up with, you know, this. I remember in college they rebranded all the athletics when I was there.
Yeah.
To, you know, to be all under one thing. And just I thinking at the time, like, what, you know, I got all these bills. This is what I'm paying for.
Our athletics went through a rebranding. Then the college went through a rebranding, Brian, and then they closed. So that was the rebranding efforts at Medi. But remember, they went from Medi College. You know the money these colleges spend to go to university? I mean, Damon, Canisius, Medi, the money spent just to add university instead of college?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about the UB thing. You know, University of Buffalo. Then they were like, New York was on all their stuff.
Yeah, by the way.
And it was back to Buffalo.
Shame on New York. Like, what idiot doesn't know that we identify as Buffalo? And when the branding was New York and not Buffalo on the court at the basketball games, people don't identify with it. We're Buffalo.
They're trying to trick people.
Yeah. Outside of Buffalo. But you need support from people in Buffalo.
Well, all this stuff, you know, we're talking about the colleges. We talked about this so many times about the, you know, how do you fix the college affordability crisis? You know, the student loan crisis is so many people are in debt just from going to school. What's the answer to that? And the thing that I, you know, floated a whole bunch of times is like, look, this will never happen because it's politically untenable. You're going to need somebody to say no more student loans, no more federal student aid. And what would happen? Well, a lot of people would be in a terrible spot. I mean, exactly. There would be how long would it last? 10 years where people wouldn't be able to afford college? I mean, it would do a lot of people dirty, to say the least. At the end of it, though, what, you know, the idea is what you would have is colleges would realize, oh, no one can afford to go to college anymore without taking out tens of thousands of dollars in loans that they're maybe never going to be able to afford back.
Right.
We're going to have to start cutting back to lower our costs to make college affordable and kind of go back to that idea where you could work a job and, you know, quote unquote, work your way through college.
Yeah.
Like that would be the idea behind it. As I said, it would never happen because of the mess you'd create in the short term. And this yesterday reminded me a little bit of that. Like, everybody wants to cut stuff out of the budget until it's their turn to get impacted, right? Like, everyone wants to see the problem fixed, but the way you go about fixing the problem is always going to be pretty messy, and politically it's not great. You know, maybe the answer is somebody who's not going to run for office again.
That's, yeah.
But, like, you're going to, I mean, be honest, what's going to happen here? I mean, you're going to cut a bunch of stuff.
And there's going to be a short-term mess.
There might be a short-term mess. It'll be unpopular. Another party gets back in. They say, oh, we'll restore all this stuff that's creating this mess.
That's the problem.
And then you're right back to where you begin. And then you have this problem to deal with again. And then it's just a cycle that goes on and on.
I mean, that's the problem with politics today, right? I mean, anything that got attention. Now, I will point that you know, there's certain things that you might have thought the last administration was going to take away that didn't, but they took a lot of stuff, put it back. Yeah, I mean, that's our problem with our politics, is we go back and forth, and at the end of the day, Brian, nothing changes.
Somebody else on the text board, 803-0930 on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, saying any moron can take a machete to something. Taking a scalpel requires thought and analysis. Agree. We're talking about this $15 million sending condoms to the Middle East. Excuse me. I almost lost. I choked on the idea. Do I need thought and analysis to figure out that that's like a waste in spending?
No, I think Elon could just cut that right away.
I feel like there's a lot of things that the money gets spent on. Now, the question is, what avenue did that money, go to? Like, that's why I want to see the line item. Was this specifically spelt out and approved somewhere? Or is it part of some other agency
that does this? Right, there was one big package.
Yeah, it's a mess. Another thing and a way that they're trying to change things up, save a little bit money in Washington, is just by getting rid of workers.
Yes, that'll do it.
And they're saying, hey, everyone come back to the office, which, look, I'm not the person to ask and say that, I'm going to have a problem with that. I understand a lot of people love working from home, and you might do your job exactly well. At the end of the day, though, if your employer, if you work for somebody and that person says, we want everybody here in the office working, even if your productivity is exactly the same, for whatever reason it is, well, that's their call. Right. And then, you got a decision to make. Do you love your job or do you love being at home? And that part's on you. And that's kind of what they're doing in the federal government. But they're also doing something else. Nearly 2 million federal employees received an email offering severance pay through the end of September if they resign within a week. So that's 8 months severance.
That's summer.
If you resign and leave your job. It's part of their plan to reduce the workforce, insisting remote workers return, another one of these things to maybe force people out who don't actually want to come over to work. I think this is such an interesting question, though, not just on a federal standpoint, but for anybody. You're faced with the offer. 8 months severance.
Of your salary.
Well, but you won't be working if you leave next week.
So you get paid your salary, it's not work.
For eight months.
That's summer.
Do you take it?
I love my job, but if I'm in this situation where there's still a chance I lose my job even if I don't take this.
Well, there's always a chance you lose your job.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a decent chance I'd lose my job here, especially if
I don't know if there is.
Crabby about going back to the office.
2 million federal employees, right? This isn't a memo given out to the people who got the memo saying come back into the office.
Oh,
the come back into the office is a way of weeding out people in some of those jobs.
They're like, where's my severance?
People who are getting this offer, I'm assuming, are already working in the office and are not people who can just be let go. So you probably have a decent amount of job security here if you're being given the offer of 8 month severance.
That's a tricky one.
I think it really comes down to is what is your confidence level that you're going to be able to find a job
in 8 months?
I was going to say in 3 months, just to be safe.
Yeah.
But like, what's your confidence? 1 month, if you're being, the smart way to play it is to go, not take an entire summer off, but go work somewhere else and make double salary.
That's the smart thing to do.
For the next 8 months, what's your confidence level that you can do that? It's probably what I'm asking myself if I'm in this situation.
Well, you work for the federal government. Say you don't want to live in D.C. anymore, or you don't want to live wherever you are, right? You've got this experience as federal government. You could probably go work at the state level somewhere or at some local government, maybe not making the same, but if your goal was to get out of this, this is your opportunity.
Can you? Like,
with that resume, I'm just assuming.
It's not going to apply. And what'd you do here? Well, I procured the condoms to send overseas. Okay.
Maybe Trojan's hiring.
All right, we got an opening in shipping and receiving.
But there are, I don't know if it works the same for government employees, but you know how politicians, they always fall butt backwards into a job when they're gone. I don't know if the same works for working for the federal government, but I assume for some places that's a good resume builder.
This would also, you know, somebody texting in, if you get another job, you lose your severance. Is that?
Oh, is that true?
Is that part of this offer?
That was not.
That's not always true. But if it's true for this offer, then I lean to just sticking around for a while. If I don't have that opportunity to make a...
That actually makes it a lot easier. I thought I could double up. Like, I thought I could take a few months off and then double up. So, all right. Thank you, Texter. That makes it easy.
Still.
Yeah. It's something you have to...
I don't know. It's a nice offer.
It's not... Hey, to not...
That's a pretty generous offer.
To not work all summer and get paid.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's nice. But that's not, you know, the older I get, Brian, and now that, you know, there is a child that I'm responsible for, I do find that you got to make responsible decisions. And that probably wouldn't be a long-term responsible decision.
Maybe not.
Because if you're expecting to have the summer off, then you're not job hunting till August 31st.
You're not. I mean, I think a lot of people would be.
Hey, I want to start Labor Day. We're
I mean, that's a pretty decent offer. I think a lot of people might be tempted to do exactly that. And think of it, if you were maybe planning on being on your way out by, you know, at the end of the year, like, oh, well, maybe if I leave a little bit early, you get all this pay for not showing up to work. What do you do with your time?
Well, I go to opening day. Because I'd be off, yeah. I'd be getting paid, so I'd go to opening day. I'd make a big deal out of that. I'd go to spring training, I'd go to spring training. I would do a lot of like traveling, which I know doesn't go with the being a responsible adult thing that I just said. But in this fantasy world, I have fun with my time. It's not the summer of George. Joe is going to get out of that chair and be doing stuff.
You're going to be doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
out walking around.
Oh yeah. Breathing it, taking it in. Once it's above 40, I'm outside.
I'd help him build the stadium downtown. Lend a hand. Volunteer. You need to slot these pieces of stadium in the right spot. That looks good. Right? Tell him where everything goes. I think I'd be good at that.
Yeah, I think it'd work out.
Looking good.
You'd be like Elon. You're just offering a helping hand.
Yeah. I don't really work here. I'm just hanging out. I want to see what the hubbub's about.
Did someone just text us in a sale? Did you see this?
No.
Salen runs sales on 3-pound hot dog packs. Get it. Into our text board.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, there's your summer.
There it is. I can start now.
I had 3 pounds of hot dogs. All right. Well, you know, I think it's a good offer, interesting offer. Definitely an interesting time. All stuff to talk about. And I can't wait to come back with more ways that everyone's wasting money tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because you know these will be... That's the highlighter part of this. Like, they'll be screaming it out from the rooftop, everything they find that they can.
Starting last week, my opening page when I sign into this computer in the studio is Doge Twitter. So the first thing I see is... The last thing that was highlighted.
There you go. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow. We have Reese in next for David here on WBEN.